Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast, presented by Dr. Joey McDonald.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading is Psalms 119, verses 137 through 144. Now, Psalms 119 is considered a love poem to God's love. The poet sees life full of uncertainties, enemies, pain. But God has given a reliable guide for living. I will now read from the Good News Bible. You are righteous, Lord, and your laws are just. The rules that you have given are completely fair and right. My anger burns in me like a fire because my enemies disregard your commands. How certain your promise is, how I love it. I am unimportant and despised. But I do not neglect your teachings. Your righteousness will last forever, and your law is always true. I am filled with trouble and anxiety, but your commandments bring me joy. Your instructions are always just. Give me understanding, and I shall live. This ends today's reading.
Pray with me, if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. Psalms are all instruments written to be used in worship. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the body of work. Some biblical scholars relate that they believe that this is a wisdom psalm, meaning that the work here, rather than being simply a notion to move people in worship, allows the worshipers to understand what defines and shapes them in terms of their faithful existence. Think, if you will, what shapes or defines you. Unless you've been in a cave the last week, you know that the Chicago Cubs are fighting for their lives in terms of the World Series. Some have bought into the notion that they have been cursed for over 70 years. Now, I don't know whether that's true. I know it's been a long time, but it's been a long time for Cleveland as well. And no, I'm not asking you to choose sides. My favorite team is not in the World Series, and that would be the Dodgers. The point being, I've witnessed a number of people witnessing their faith in the Cubs to break this curse. I don't know whether that's, you know, it's in the great department store of life. Sports seems to me to be the toy department. I don't remember who I'm quoting, but some great sportscaster referred to it as the toy department. And I think that's true. It's not that I don't live and die with my favorite teams as well. But what shapes us? What causes us to focus? Chris Erskine writes for the LA Times in both sports and in family life. He's about a decade younger than me. He has children in their 30s, and he has his youngest son is 12, just to sort of give you some background about him. He was born and raised in Chicago, just blocks from Wrigley Field. So think of that. Here's a guy hitting it hard for 60, and so he has some opinions. And he talked about the fact that there's one person missing from the team, and it's his late father, who would be just about 90. He said everything he knows about life, about sports, about relating to the world came from his dad. He said, I learned what was really funny listening to my father's laughter. And I learned how important the Cubs were listening to him yell at them on television. And then he said something theologic, which he doesn't often. He said, the plight that has befallen the Cubs causes us to question the benevolence of God. And I thought about that, and I thought, nah, that's malarkey. That's just malarkey to me. The benevolence of God does not depend on whether the Cubs win or lose, or whether Cleveland wins or loses. They're almost 70 years into not being in the World Series. They just have this astounding pitching going on for them right now. So what defines our faith in God? The psalmist tells us that God loves us, that we ought to love God with everything within us. Well, I liked what Chris Erskine said about what's missing for him is his dad. One of his lines was, you know, if my dad were still alive, then I would have cashed in my 401k to buy two tickets to see the, so he could see the Cubs, and I'd have to carry him as he carried me as a youngster. That's more telling theologically to me than the comment about whether God might be benevolent or not. So what defines and reveals the truth about you? I'll tell you what helps me understand who I am and what I'm about as a person of faith came not from my highfalutin graduate school education. It was something my mother said. I don't know that I was yet a teenager, but she said, Joey, everybody you know and count on will abandon you, either in death or by breaking their word to you. Everybody will abandon you except God. Let that sink in. Everybody will abandon you but God. That's what the psalmist is saying. God never leaves us in the lurch. And I know we all have our dark night of the soul, as St. John of the Cross did. Everybody has that time. Why did this happen to me? Why did God do this to me? Well, about 99.9% of it is related to the fact that we live in a natural world. When my mother died of lung cancer 5 years after my dad, my late sister Mickey said, I think it was God's will. And one of the very few times I ever cursed at and yelled at my sister was then. I said, I can't get my head around, let alone my arms around, a God that would be so wicked and mean. Just doesn't work for me. God loves. God is the very embodiment of love. There's a little article in the Times that appears, I think it's just once a week. It's five questions, and Roy M. Wallach asks people who are famous or who used to be famous five questions. And recently, he was it's not really an interview, he just asking the actor, director, writer, Matthew Modine, if you can't put a face to it, think Full Metal Jacket. That's what I can always remember him for. But he's done a ton of things. He's older than I thought. He's 57. How did that happen? Because I remember him as a young man. And he was asked several questions. One, he prefers to live in New York, and he prefers to live in New York because he can ride his bicycle in New York. He said, I'm afraid to ride my bike in Los Angeles. He has homes in both New York City and in Venice, California. And he said, my favorite means of transportation here is walking or my skateboard. So he hikes, and he was asked about casually he mentioned that he liked a certain vegan restaurant. And so Mr. Wallach said, "Are you a vegan?" And he said, "Yes." He said, I didn't start out that way, but he said, "I started to not like the way I felt after I ate. So I just changed the way I ate." He said, "It was pretty easy. My wife has, for most of her life, been a vegetarian. And so I just decided to not eat anything that wasn't plant-based." And he said, it's not a religious experience for me. He said, "I do this 350 days a year." So that means he cheats for 15 days a year. At least that's what I took it to mean. What makes that powerful is we live in a time and space where we judge each other by what we eat. Don't we? They eat the wrong things. They do the wrong exercises. They don't spin, they walk. Well, that led to another question about whether Mr. Modine does anything other than walk and he will walk from Venice to Beverly Hills, which is 7 miles. So he said, "Oh yeah, I hike in the Santa Monica Mountains and I do some other weight resistant training." He said, "What I like best about walking is you have to be intentional. If you're walking Old Mulholland Road up to the Nike, I used the wrong word, but anyways, the missile silo up there, and I've done that. You have to be intentional." And I know what he means about being intentional, because I fell because I wasn't being intentional when I walked up there with my friends, the Jewets. So only took once for me to pay more attention about where I was placing my feet. And what he went on to say is, he said, "My children tease me that I sound like some old hippie when I talk about this being Zen-like, almost Buddhist, because I'm thinking about what I'm doing. I can get outside of my head, and I just focus on the walking." He said, "It's almost like the breathing exercises from yoga, how powerful." And I don't know how to do that, but I probably am one of those that am strung tightly enough that I should probably learn how to breathe yoga-wise, because sometimes we just need to step back, take a breath, and give God thanks. Well, after reading this article, I don't know what I was doing. I was puttering around the house, got bored, clicked on the TV, and the movie Jerry Maguire, which is now a pretty vintage movie with Tom Cruise and Renee Zellweger, was on. And it was late enough that I didn't have to watch the whole thing to see the best part. And you know what I'm talking about, that soliloquy at the end where he goes in as Jerry Maguire, realizing that Renee Zellweger's character is the love of his life. And he goes into this long speech that begins with "hello," and you almost are drawn into turning out everything else he's saying. And then at the end, it shifts to Renee Zellweger, and she says that killer line, "You had me at hello." That's what the psalmist is saying. God's had us at hello, or oh God, or please God, hear me. God has us. That's what it means to be defined, grounded, rooted in hope. Now you have choices, not just today, but every day this week. You can be grounded in fear and hate and anger and frustration and depression or whatever. But somebody gave me this line, these three lines, years and years ago, now probably more than 40 years ago. So I can't really remember for sure where I first heard them, or whether the person who shared them was the originator. But these are not my lines, but they have helped me more than I could ever say. If God loves me, Ought not I love myself? If God loves me, ought not I love myself? If God forgives me, ought not I forgive myself? If God accepts me as I am, if God accepts me, ought not I accept myself? I think that's what this psalm is saying. The longest psalm. Takes a long time to get through this psalm. And yes, I have read it end to end. But if God accepts, loves, and forgives us, what's taking us so long? Get on with it. So be it. And amen.